and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from both Logan Church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
So look at me.
Yes, sir.
Do I look shaken?
No, sir.
I am very, very shaken.
Oh, okay.
You know how I have this treadmill?
Yes.
My desk treadmill, mm-hmm. So when I don't have a guest and I'm just working at my desk, I try to burn some fat off mm-hmm. on the treadmill.
Yeah.
I'm really focused on what I'm doing, and I'm not just a treadmill, but I'm really focused on whatever's on my computer, email, yep. writing a blog post, something like that. And my wife comes in, Nellie Jo.
Okay.
But I don't know that she's coming in. And she comes around the corner, and she goes, boo! And my heart is...
Did you fall off the treadmill?
I didn't fall off the treadmill, man. But I got to tell you, my heart is still racing.
I think we need a camera in there for just the moment that whenever you do fall off the treadmill, so I can put it on YouTube.
I appreciate your encouragement, Jonathan.
Yeah, it'll go viral.
At my age, I think I may be dead after I fall off the treadmill.
That's a good point.
No, I didn't fall off the treadmill, but I got to tell you, she really got me on that. And the irony of it is she's put up all these years with the three Rainer boys, four counting mm-hmm. me, scaring her.
Okay.
So she feels somewhat satisfied in her retribution.
Right. Well, I see you've got coffee in hand, so you're trying to relax, I guess.
Yeah, trying to relax with extra caffeine.
Yes.
Hey, we got a good topic for today. Love doing these practical advice topics, and this is going to be one that I think every pastor, every staff member can identify. We're going to talk about the issue of pastoral visits and offer some tips.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different types of pastoral visits. That's actually the first point that we're going to get to. But these don't just apply to pastors. These could be any staff member or any
deacon, elder, Sunday school, small group class. Yes.
For whatever reason that we're going to cover here.
And as a matter of fact, I hope that this podcast will be shared with lay leaders in the church, because we'll be talking about how pastoral visits need to be shared with people in the church.
And it's encouraging. I know that anybody is encouraged whenever they may have a sickness or an illness or something, or maybe even grief, to have those visits from your faith community.
That's right. That is right. It's always encouraging, and let's talk about the best way to do it.
All right. Well, we mentioned off the top that there's many types. So point number one, there are many types of pastoral visits.
Well, we will cover to some extent a little bit more than others hospital visits,
yes.
because they require a certain protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And even though every community is different and every hospital is different, I think there's some basic principles that we need to be aware of, so we'll be looking at those. Another one would be homebound. There will always be, well, in most churches, there will be a number of members who cannot physically come to church, and they appreciate a visit,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about those. Nursing home, that would be similar. Here's another one, one in the midst of tragedy.
Yeah.
What do you do? I recall one where I showed up at the house where the teenage boy had been killed.
Oh, man.
He was responsible. He was the driver, and two others were killed as a result. And what do you do? What do you say when you walk into that home in the midst of that tragedy?
Yeah.
Another one is prospective members. There used to be a day when we would have what is called outreach or visitation.
And some churches still do this.
Oh, they still do it, but I'm talking about widespread.
Yeah.
And you would show up unannounced at a home and say, thanks for visiting. And that was just protocol. And it's still happening in smaller towns and rural areas, but not so much in larger cities and suburban areas. Funeral home visits, mm-hmm. When you go to the funeral home, I'm talking about the time before the funeral.
Yeah.
What typically in most communities is called visitation, but it's different nomenclature. Visiting your members, should you, and then when should you? And then there's a wealth of others. So we got a lot to cover in a little while, and we'll just continue to look at maybe some broad principles for all of these.
Yeah, and regardless of the type of visit, point number two is that after a church passes 100 in attendance, it becomes physically impossible for one person to do all the visits.
Yeah, that is the reality. And actually, I think a church of 30 and over is going to be difficult if you want to have an ongoing visit to all of the members on a regular basis. You were at a speaking engagement recently with me. You were at a couple, and I talked about my first church, and I talked about the deacon body.
Yeah, Merle.
Merle was his name. And the first church, I know you remember how many people were there.
How many? Seven.
Seven were the
plus
number.
Plus your family, which make 11.
That's right, because Jess was not yet born at the time. And there was the expectation that I visit everybody. And
like just because? Or
yes, the pastor visited everybody, and it was typically about once a month. And so I would have to do the entire membership once a month. Now, that was pretty easy because there were only—
Early on.
Well, there were three families. The seven made up three families. That was it.
Yeah.
And I didn't
one visit, a week.
One, yeah, just and, you know, I traveled there on the weekend and I visited. But then the church became a church of 70.
Not so easy.
In fact, it was impossible to keep up with the expectations. And those were some of my first lines of criticism that I heard. You're not visiting everybody enough. Well, I did when there were seven, but I couldn't when there were 70. Mm-hmm. So just simply an admonition. We'll talk about this more when we get down to toward the end of this about equipping others. But for right now, let's simply say that one person will burn out trying to do it all.
Is the expectation still there that pastors, specifically pastors, still visit and make these type of visits, hospital visits, those kind of visits?
In some churches, absolutely. In some churches, it's expected that they are there for any hospital visit. In some churches, it's expected that the pastor shows up instead of others. In some churches, it is not so. And there's really the expectation that the pastor shows up maybe in major medical events, open heart surgery mm-hmm. or something of that nature, life and death surgery. So it really depends on the context. It's related to three things, Sean. It's related to the age of the church.
Yeah.
Number one, older churches mm-hmm. tend to have the higher expectations. Number two, it is related to the size of the church. Smaller churches tend to have more pastoral care expectations. And number three, it's related to the demographics of the community. Mm-hmm. The more populated the community, the lower the expectations that the pastor make every visit.
So rural, old churches.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a lot of churches.
Yeah, it is.
And so as we've got these listeners joining us on this podcast today, I imagine 8 out of 10 of them are saying, that's my church.
All right. Number three, learn when appointments are preferred.
We've been talking about context, and we've been talking about small church versus large church, urban versus suburban and rural, small town. We've been talking about the age of the church. Some of those will affect this, but I will say this. It is more common today to have the expectation from those that you will visit, maybe with the exception of hospital visits, that you have an appointment ahead mm-hmm. of time. I mean, I just think back to I'll be 60 years old this year, so I'm old.
Wow.
I am an instrument of antiquity on this podcast, and so I can go back at least in my pastoral ministry and reflect back on many, many years. But in my early churches, it was common and expected that you could show up at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But as time progressed and as people began to cocoon, which means to focus inwardly in their homes, as the back deck became more common than the front porch, where you would see people coming into the neighborhood, then the expectations of appointments grew. Another factor is the busyness of our society. My guess is with your 6 or 7 children,
four
can't keep up with your 4 children that you have. Every year brings more activities, and you and Beth are scattered in a number of different places. So y'all aren't even at home a lot of the time.
A lot, yeah.
So all of these factors culturally, particularly in North America, culturally are pushing toward make an appointment. And it's good stewardship. It's good use of your time as well.
Yeah. Well, and even if you're dropping in unannounced, it's always good to either call or text, you know, ahead of time.
Which is a form of an appointment, too.
I'm in your neighborhood. Mind if I stop by? Just like to say hello. Something like that.
Yeah, that's a form of appointment as well, but anything to give
a little less informal, though.
Yeah, it is informal. Anything to give them a heads up that you are about to show up, particularly if you're the pastor or staff person.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that person showing up?
You
know, what's going on? So appointments are always good, and the reason behind the appointment stated clearly is always good.
And I remember whenever Beth had Avery last year, last fall.
Is that number 4?
That was number 4. Whenever she had Avery Grace, we just requested that people text us to let us know they're coming. We were in the hospital. We were just hanging out. But it's always good to just make sure, especially whenever you're visiting people in the hospital, new mothers, anyone that's at surgery, just to let them know that you're coming. So if it isn't a good time, you don't waste your time going all the way there. Or, you know, if they've got somebody there, maybe they've got family in, or maybe something's going on in there, running tests on the baby or on the mom or something like that.
Sure.
Always good to just text or call, especially new moms.
Yeah.
I learned
the
that
voice,
one.
The voice of experience.
Yes.
Well, I did you a big favor. I didn't show up at all.
No, you didn't.
And I know.
But Amy and Amy did.
I know.
So
I know.
I know who loves me in this office.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
Number 4, brevity is generally better.
We have this idea that when we visit someone that – it has to be a certain allocated time, like 30 minutes is necessary for a good visit or 60 minutes. That is not necessarily the case. Whether it is a hospital visit or whether it is a home visit or any of these other categories, brevity is typically better. Now, are there exceptions? Absolutely. You may, if it's a life and death surgery, you may want to stay with the family during the surgery. Yeah. If a tragedy has taken place, it may not be the best thing just to stick your head in and say a prayer and walk away. So context does matter, but as a general rule, brevity is better. And I have heard many, many church members say to many, many church leaders, I appreciate you coming by and I appreciate your leaving. And they say it was good, but, you know, they're worn out usually. And if they're in the hospital or whatever, even at home, a shorter visit is better than a longer. This is cliche, but it is more the thought that counts than the length of the visit.
Yeah. Number five, and I think this is one we could really park on for a while, is balance unreasonable expectations with a pastoral heart.
Yeah, let's go back to my situation simply because I think it's illustrative of so many pastors and so many church leaders that when you have a pastor, the expectation of the pastor, staff, or lay leader is, particularly the pastor, you will be there to meet my pastoral needs. Yeah. You will visit me in the home. You will visit me in the hospital, regardless of the type of surgery or the seriousness of the medical condition. And that becomes tough because most of the pastors and staff that I know have a great heart for people, for pastoral care, and they want to meet their needs. I'm just going to reflect on one pastor, and I know him from many years back. He felt compelled to make every visit, every time, for every need. Church ran about 150, and he did it for years, and he finally totally burned out.
It's just not possible.
It's not possible. And here's the thing about it. He raised the level of expectation so much that he created a monster in the fact that when he did not visit, they thought something was wrong. It was a huge issue. Why didn't brother such and such visit me?
You're also setting up the next guy for failure.
Yeah, that is true.
Because if he doesn't want to do that or doesn't feel like that's his calling or that's how it should be done, then he's automatically stepping in trouble with the people of the church.
You know, that's very well stated because the next guy did fail.
Yeah.
The church said, you're not brother such and such. Yeah. You don't do like he does. And the church ended up splitting, and it is no longer able to even have a full-time pastor as a result of this. So it's not always good. You got to balance the pastoral heart and your desire to minister to people with reality, your stamina, equipping the saints to do the work of ministry, which we're going to get into. But it's tough. There's no magic answer. If someone's listening to this podcast, say, what's the balance? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you've got to learn balance in this, just like in any other area of life.
Well, while we're here on this, the expectations, what if Miss Ruby is having a bunion removed? And instead of Pastor Mike going, who's the senior pastor, maybe her Sunday school, he enlists her Sunday school teacher or one of the deacons, you know, or Brother Steve, the associate pastor, he goes. And Miss Ruby gets upset.
Well,
because it wasn't up to that level.
It wasn't the pastor. Well, first of all, the Miss Rubies of this world will get upset. And when they get their bunion, I don't know if a bunion is considered outpatient surgery, Jonathan, but, you know,
probably a big deal for her.
Well,
it's only minor surgery when it's happened to someone else, right?
But bunions, I don't know.
I'm coming up with something.
Yeah, you really are.
Yes.
Hospitalist. Miss Ruby's having her bunion removed. I don't think that's
There are people listening to this who will amen to that.
You're exactly
tweet
right.
Tweet me. Let me know that this happened to you.
Yeah, that's give him your tweet, not mine.
@Jonathan_Howe.
Yeah, H-O-W-E.
Yes.
So it is a matter of balance. It is a matter of understanding that you will get criticized some of the time. I know of a pastor in a church in Cookeville, Tennessee, and this pastor does not visit. The church runs about 1,200, 1,300 in worship. This pastor does not visit everybody in the hospital, but he does call everybody in the hospital. And so instead of taking 45 minutes to an hour for a hospital visit, now he takes 5 minutes. If it is a serious matter, though, he will go visit that person.
And handwritten notes would also work there.
Yeah.
Those are even better than phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
People love handwritten
notes. That's a lost art, too. The same pastor does that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Number six, learn the community context.
You know, we've touched on this in several other points. And just as a review, in case you didn't hear it at the first, rural churches are more, or let's say less populated communities. Those type of churches are more likely to want pastoral care. Smaller churches are more likely to expect pastoral care than older churches are. So know your context. And you could be in a church that's an exception, too.
Yeah.
So don't just think because I have these general rules of thumb that's how all the churches are. But understand the context.
Is this something that a pastor, if he's going to a new church or a staff member going to a new church, is this something they need to ask about? Is this to that level?
Yeah, it is something they'll ask about. They probably won't get a good answer. The when you're dealing with a search committee, you might say, "No, our main concern is growing and reaching people."
Yeah. And then you get there,
you know,
you didn't visit Aunt Sally.
That's right. So you can ask, but you're probably not going. They're not untruthful. They just don't think about how much they really want the pastoral care.
Well, sometimes if you ask questions different ways, you can find out more. Is there a way to ask that question without asking specifically of
If you're a pastor going in, ask the previous pastor.
Oh, okay.
Say, tell me about your church. Tell me what I would expect in pastoral care.
Okay.
In fact, I would advise any prospective pastor, and you could even use it for other church staff positions, talk to the previous person and get an idea of what it was like there in a lot of ways.
Number seven, and this I think is a big one, know the proper etiquette for a hospital visit and other visits as well. That seems to be a lost art because of the infrequency of how much it's done.
Well, I think a lot of people have the view that visiting in a hospital is a public forum. And so you walk in and you don't have to respect the privacy of the person like you would anywhere else, like their home or like any a nursing home or any other place. So they're just some reminders. And longer-term pastors get this, and those who are new, this may be some helpful reminders. When you go to a hospital door, even if the door is open, knock. Mm-hmm. Knock. You never know. It might just be a bad time. So knock. Then ask permission. Is this a good time for me to come in?
Mm-hmm.
So make certain that they've said, oh, certain. Because I've as a pastor, I've gone and knocked on the door and said, this is a good time. They said, not right now. Can you come back later? Say, sure.
Yep.
And it's been some very obvious reasons why it wasn't a good time. Don't sit on the bed. What if they have a broken bone or they've had some type of surgery where they are in pain? You sit on the bed?
Yeah. Not good.
Not good.
Yeah.
It's just not good etiquette anyway. I was with an associate pastor one time, and he sat on the bed. And before I could say anything, the church member said, get your off this bed. So he learned.
That's awesome.
He learned right away. When doctors or nurses come in to take care, step out. Don't stay there while the doctor asks questions or while the nurse puts in another IV or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
That is a time of privacy, and you'll just say, I'll excuse myself while the doctor or the nurse is here. Keep this in mind, perhaps as much as any, brevity is better in a hospital visit.
Yep.
It is not uncommon for these people to have received several visits. They try to sleep. There are people coming in at daytime. There are medical personnel coming in at night. They're tired. And just a quick visit, a quick prayer is just appropriate. And then another little tidbit of advice, instead of saying, let me pray with you, say, how can I pray?
Yeah.
You know, is there a specific need related to this? It may be beyond their physical surgery or their physical need. It may be, hey, I'm concerned about this person who is at home and they're having to wait on me. So whatever it be, just ask that question and pray in that direction. I know that many of us pastors, our concluding words are, let's pray. And so we pray, and then we walk out. Sometimes we need to think about personalizing the prayer to God in the context of what that person needs.
Number eight, and we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but learn as much as you can about pastoral visit expectations before you go to a church.
And here is, we talked about the calling the pastor, and I don't know how appropriate it is for me to tell this story, but you can decide if you want to keep it or edit it in here. But I read a pastoral care book that said, go to the local funeral home and ask them what is appropriate in that community. And
I know the story.
And they were they were jokesters. They were absolute jokesters, and they knew they had a rookie pastor on hand. And they told me that during the open casket funeral, that it was customary in the community to kiss the deceased at the end of the service. And there,
so what happened, Dr. Rayner?
I kissed the deceased at the end of the service, and bless my heart. It was absolutely, and people were aghast. They were looking at me like,
and rightfully so.
What is he doing?
And the guys in the back?
They were rolling in laughter. I mean, this was not my fault. I've done a lot of stupid things in ministry, but they totally set me up for that. I kissed the late Martha on the forehead, and I just...
Was she the one that voted against you?
No. She was actually not a member of the church. She was in the community. She was one of my first funerals, but she was in the community, but not a member of the church.
Well, I'm glad you lived to tell that story, because that's a good one. So, but you're right. You know, talk to people in the community and or in the church that they can help you out a lot of times with expectations. So.
And the reality of it is, it takes about 2 months living in a community before you understand what's right and what's wrong. Yeah. And you might mess up.
And it's wrong to kiss the deceased after a funeral. I'm going to just throw that one out there. Blanket statement.
Forget
the context.
Yeah, even if you are told it is a community tradition, you may have to say that I don't do that.
Number 9, equip others.
Yeah, we have talked about this, Jonathan, that ultimately if true pastoral visit ministry is going to take place in a church, then you really need to equip others. You need to equip elders and deacons and small group leaders and Sunday school teachers, so that all the onus of responsibility is not on one or a few people. And you need to have a process to do that.
And the final tip is to handle awkward moments with grace.
Is that all you're going to say?
I'm just going to leave it there. You can tell the story.
I know. It's another story about my stupidity.
No, it's not your stupidity. This one's on Chuck.
I know it is. But I was a pastor in St. Pete, and Chuck and I were visiting one of our senior saints, and it was in a semi-private room, and there was another person in the room, another elderly woman. And as we were talking to the person who was in our church, the elderly woman stood up with one of those gowns that you have to strap in the back, except
it wasn't strapped.
And that was just one of those awkward moments. And I could tell you more about that, but I maintain my composure, but Chuck lost it. He just cracked up and ran out of the room in the loudest, almost a hyena type of laugh. And it was just awkward. So all I could say was, let's pray.
This week's podcast has been brought to you by RevitalizedChurches.com, bringing together books, videos, and other resources from today's top pastors, leaders, and authors. RevitalizedChurches.com is the premier online destination for church revitalization and online consultations. Visit RevitalizedChurches.com today for your free download of 114 Things You Need to Know About Church Revitalization by Tom Rayner. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Rayner on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts?
I want to just kind of push us forward to the next episode. The next episode is episode 100. And so I'm going to encourage all of our listeners to come back for episode 100. We're going to talk to my pastor, who has been at his church almost a quarter of a century, and we will be talking about the issue of how can you have a long-term ministry, a fruitful long-term ministry. And I've been told that we're going to have cupcakes.
Yeah, man,
and
we got food.
It looked like a champagne bottle in here, but it's sparkling beverage. So I was nervous for just a minute. But it's going to be a good time. So thank you, everyone, for listening to this, and I will welcome you back next time as we celebrate podcast number 100.
Thanks for listening to Rayner on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrayner.com.